Last week, Rasika Mataji, she so nicely explained verse 1 to 11. So in verse from text 6, Suta Goswami starts answering the first two questions asked by the sages of Naimisharanya. So what were the two questions? The first question was, what is the ultimate good for all mankind? And the second question was, what is the essence of all scriptures? So Suta Goswami actually answers, you know, this question starting from text 6 until text 28 of this chapter. He elaborates basically. So for, you know, in text 7 he says, Savai Pumshum Paro Dharma Yato Bhakti Adokshaje. So the ultimate good is for people to render devotional service. So, and then the last verse, 1.2.11, Mataji explained about this three concepts of realizing the absolute truth. And then we understood that the Bhagavan realization is the complete realization because it is Satchit Ananda. So now let's try to understand how to realize this absolute truth. So this is how I planned the presentation. So first we will recite the verse. Then we will see some of the punching statements from, you know, Srila Prabhupada's purport. And then we will discuss the main points. And then we will see what is the practical application or what is the take-home point for me or for us from this verse. So let's recite. All of these verses are very important. So let's recite these verses. Tat shraddha dana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shruta ghritaya. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. Srila Prabhupada says, you know, in the purport, devotional service which is based on the foreground of full knowledge combined with detachment from material association and which is fixed by the oral reception of the Vedanta Shruti is the only perfect method by which the seriously inquisitive student can realize the absolute truth. Therefore, devotional service is not meant for the less intelligent class of transcendentalists. This is the beauty of Srila Prabhupada. He, like, in very few lines or sentences, he just, you know, explains the entire gist of the verse. So let's, you know, discuss all these points one by one. So what is the qualification to realize the absolute truth in full? By performing devotional service based on jnana, knowledge, vairagya, detachment, fixed by oral reception of Vedanta Shruti, seriously inquisitive. So if we mix all these, you know, ingredients together, then we get the formula to practice Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, if you have to make H2O, so you mix like two hydrogen and one oxygen, it becomes water. So similarly, if we mix all these elements, all these ingredients together, we get the formula for practicing Krishna consciousness. So we will see one by one. The first is Tat Shraddha Dana. Seriously inquisitive. Shraddha means to have faith. So Srila Prabhupada says the Shraddha here means our eagerness to see Krishna, our eagerness to want to love Krishna. So there is this nice story in this connection of this 12th thief. So once there was a thief who was being chased by the police. So he, you know, he ran and ran and finally he saw this Bhagavat Satsang happening. And then he comes and sits in the class with the intention of not being caught by the police. So when he's sitting in the class, the Bhagavadam reciter, you know, he recites that, you know, there is this boy called Krishna in Vrindavan. He wears all these nice, you know, ornaments and he goes to the forest to tend cows. So when he heard that, he thought, oh nice, so if I can just go and find this boy somehow, I can steal all the ornaments and I'll become a millionaire. So with that, you know, he went to the forest. But what was his qualification? Eagerness to find Krishna, to see Krishna. So he goes to the forest and he there, because he had that eagerness, he actually finds Krishna. And how he sees Krishna? The same way as how the reciter has, you know, told him. So he finds Krishna and starts glorifying Krishna. Actually, he starts flattering Krishna. Oh, Krishna, you're so nice, you know, so that he can steal all the ornaments from him. So he starts glorifying Krishna. He says, you're so nice, you have so many, you're so rich, and makes his business. Can you please give some of your ornaments to me? Then Krishna says, no, you know, in a very childish way, he says, my mother will scold me if I give all these things to you. But then again and again, he glorifies and flatters. And finally, Krishna says, okay, now you can take all the jewels. But by this time, he is purified because of the association of Krishna. So, he becomes a devotee immediately. Another example is Dhruva Maharaj. So, Dhruva Maharaj, I'm sure all of you know the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. He was, you know, being insulted by his stepmother Suruchi and didn't allow him to sit on his father's lap. So immediately, you know, he was very hurt by that incident and he went to his mother, you know, to his real mother, and, you know, his mother told him that, you know, you can, whatever you want, you can ask Lord Krishna. And how you can find the Supreme Lord? People say that they go to the forest and perform austerities to find the Supreme Lord. So immediately Dhruva Maharaj goes to the forest. There, because he had this eagerness to somehow find Krishna, Krishna sent Narada Muni, the spiritual master, for his guidance. So when, you know, spiritual master, I mean, Narada Muni saw him, he asked, what happened? Why are you like so angry? What do you want? Then Dhruva Maharaj explains, you know, this what happened. Now I want to somehow or the other see the Supreme Lord and satisfy my desire. Then Narada Muni tests him. He says, you're just a small boy, just 5 years old. You know, what do you know about insult and all those things? Just go home and play. But Dhruva Maharaj says, no, I'm born from a Kshatriya father, so I cannot take it as a simple thing. Then because he was so determined, he was so eager to see the Supreme Lord, Narada Muni reveals to him, you know, how he can find the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada says his eagerness to see, somehow or other see Krishna, is very, very important in our spiritual life. So, Srila Prabhupada in his lecture for this verse, he says, of course, if you are eager to see Krishna, then motive may be different, but somehow or the other, due to your eagerness, you will see Krishna. That is the only qualification. So, our spiritual life starts there actually, when we have this eagerness. So, Rupa Goswami in his Padyavali, actually he says, you know, Krishna consciousness is easily available in the market, and what is the price that we have to pay? Our Tatra Laulyam Ekalam Mulyam. Simply your eagerness, the greed. So that is the price. Then you get Krishna immediately. So this eagerness is very important thing. Tashraddha Dana Munaya. Those who have developed Shishigarnatayaki. Those who have developed that eagerness, faith, that I must see Krishna in this life. This life is meant for seeing Krishna. It is not meant for becoming dogs and hogs. Now the next verse. Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya, equipped with knowledge and detachment. So knowledge and detachment is required, but how do we get it? Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. So when we practice Bhakti, then automatically, you know, Jnana and Vairagya come. So Bhakti has two sons. So as soon as we have Bhakti in the heart, then we automatically get knowledge and detachment also. And what is this Jnana? This Jnana is, I am not the master, but I am simply the servant of the Supreme Lord. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I am not a Brahmana, I am not a Kshatriya, I am not this, I am not that, but what am I? Gopi Bartur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. I am just the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord who is the maintainer of the gopis. And when we have this knowledge and when we practice the rules and regulations of bhakti, you know, there are like 4 regulative principles and 6 do's and don'ts. So, when we practice this, automatically we get detachment, or when we have attachment to Krishna, we automatically become detached to material objects. So therefore, Jnana and Vairagya are the subset of Bhakti, or rather it is dependent on Bhakti. But it is necessary. But as soon as you practice devotional service, it automatically comes. So in this context, Srila Prabhupada so nicely says, so this is Jnana. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enunciates, not to become master or God, to become the servant of God. Not only servant, but servant, 100 times downward. Then you become perfect. That is the demand of Krishna. That you first of all become servant. Because that is your real position. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms it. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityera Krishna Das. This is our position. This is Jnana. Anyone who is claiming other than that, this is not in knowledge. He is Ajnana. So I just remember this one nice quote that my spiritual master says. He's Service means not doing what I want. Service means doing what Krishna wants. Next is Bhaktya Shruta Ghritaya. Through oral reception from Vedanta Shutras. So what, the meaning is Bhakti should be based on Vedic knowledge, not just out of sentimentalism. Right? So in third chapter, fourth verse, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, religion without philosophy is fanaticism or sentimentalism, and philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So it should be based on the Vedic knowledge. And the goal of Vedanta is to understand Bhagavan, right? But normally, you know, because when the Sharirika Bhasya came, people started thinking it as they started propagating this Mayavad philosophy. But that is not the goal of Vedanta. Vedanta is to understand Bhagavan. Actually, Veda means knowledge, Anta means end. So the last word in Vedanta is Bhagavan. So this is very nice verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Rupa Goswami says, you know, devotional service of the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas and Narada Pancharatra is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. So Srila Prabhupada says, what kind of bhakti? Bhaktya Shruta Ghritaya. Shruta by hearing Shruti or Vedas completely on the basis of Vedic knowledge. That bhakti is not sentimental. Real bhakti, Srila Jiva Goswami has commented that bhakti based on understanding of Vedanta Sutra is perfect on the basis of jnana, knowledge and vairagya. Now, there are, so Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that there are three kinds of transcendentalists. The jnanis, they have barely realized the absolute truth. The yogis, they have realized the partial feature of the absolute truth. And bhaktas, they have completely realized the absolute truth. So, therefore, devotional service is not meant for less intelligent class of transcendentalists. So, even among bhaktas, there are three classes of devotees. Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama. So, Kanishta Adhikari, they don't have any knowledge about scriptures, nor they are attached to material association, and they are more attached to material benefit than transcendental profit. They don't have this taste for hearing from higher authorities, and they are primarily attached to deity worship in the temple. Madhyamadhikari is one who sees four principles in devotional line, that is the Supreme Lord, the devotees, the ignorant and the envious. So Srila Prabhupada says, as soon as possible, raise to this platform of Madhyamadhikari to realize the absolute truth. Now how one can realize one's, raise oneself to the platform of Madhyamadhikari is what we will discuss in the next slide. Through hearing and also following. So neophytes or the beginners, they have very, very little taste to hear from authorities. So we should be prepared, to hear from the Uttama Adhikaris. And most important, Srila Prabhupada says, from the right source. So I just want to share a hilarious story. So there was this village and this man was, feeling very sad. He was shaving his, head. And then somebody passed by, another villager passed by and he asked, what happened? Why are you shaving? Then he says, oh, you don't know, Sargil Singh is dead. And then, he says, oh, is it? Okay, then he also shaves his head. And it actually reaches, the entire village and everybody starts shaving the head. And finally, it reaches the king of that village also and he also starts shaving the head. About to shave the head, the minister comes and asks, what happened? Why are you shaving your head? He says, you don't know, Sargil Singh is dead. So minister asks, who is Sargil Singh? Then king says, oh, I don't know who is Sargil Singh. So the minister goes and traces out, he asks everybody and finally comes to this man. He was just a washerman. He asks, who is this Sargil Singh? He said, Sargil Singh is my donkey. And I am so sad and that's why I am shaving my head. So therefore, it's very, very important to hear from the right source. And again, we saw this, without following devotional service based on Vedic literatures is simply a disturbance. How we hear has a reciprocal effect on our consciousness. This is very important. See, for example, Dhruva Maharaj, everything had gone smooth for him. Like if his stepmother didn't insult him or let him play on his father's lap, and then later his mother told him, real mother told him, Dhruva, you can find Krishna, you can find the Supreme Lord in the forest by performing austerities. So he said, okay, mama, later I want to go and play now. But because he was in the desperate situation to take shelter, whatever, he took shelter of his mother's words. So this is very, very important. It's just, we should not just listen. You know, we might sometimes just listen to a class, okay, it is nice. But we should have that mentality of taking shelter of the words of Acharyas and Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and all these scriptures. So actually there is a difference between listening and hearing. Actually there is 5 types of listening. The first one is ignoring. So when you talk, when somebody talks to you, just ignore, you don't care. The second one is pretension. So when somebody talks, we just pretend to hear, but we don't actually take the message. The third one is selective listening. So we just, you know, listen to whatever we want to listen, pick certain words, and then we try to come up with our own conclusion. Fourth one is attentive hearing, where we actually hear attentively and we relate our experience with that. The fourth one is empathic listening, which is we become receptive to the speaker's words, the intent of words and the feelings of the speaker. So this fourth and fifth, the attentive hearing and empathic, attentive listening and empathic listening comes under the category of hearing. So many people can listen, but only some can hear. So this is very, very important. Hearing means taking shelter of those words. So we should be in this category of hearing, empathic listening, and also follow. So hearing means also following. So and how, what kind of hearing? Srila Prabhupada says in, you know, one first chapter, third first canto, third chapter, 44th verse. It's a very, very important purport. He says, simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The word Nivishta means that Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person. Then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. He says, no one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. Nobody can be pure. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. But somehow or the other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. In fact, you know, all these verses, hearing is very much stressed. So, in fact, that is the first qualification we have to understand or to see Krishna. Now, receiving the knowledge through parampara. So, we should not, you know, we have to, again, as we discussed, we have to hear from the right source. So, we have to hear from authorities who have come in the chain of disciplic succession. So, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that if we hear from non-devotees or professional Bhagavata reciters, then it is equivalent to drinking milk touched by the lips of the serpent. So we have to be very careful. It will pollute us. It's a transcendental message, but if we hear from such non-devotees, then it becomes poisonous or dangerous. So how is the spiritual knowledge transferred? Pranipatena, pariprashnena and sevaya. When we inquire submissively and render menial service, then the spiritual knowledge is transferred. Now, let's see what are the practical applications. So, these are the practical applications for this verse. Hearing, applying, engaging in devotional service, strictly following the rules and regulations as laid down by Acharyas and scriptures. Now, the next verse. So, now, we know through devotional service we can realize the absolute truth. What is the goal of realizing the absolute truth is what we will see in the next verse. We will recite this verse together.
Ata pumbi jvida shrishta varnashtama vibhagasha svanutishtasya dharmasya samsiddhir aritoshanam.
O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. So what is our main points here? Highest perfection we can achieve by discharging our duties. The goal is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The highest perfection is to please the Supreme Lord Krishna with the social institution of Varnashrama system. So Srila Prabhupada says here, everyone should know how to become perfect. That education is not there. They do not know what is perfection. They do not know that I am eternal. My struggle for existence is for perfection of life. To come to my original position, Krishna consciousness. So that I may regain again my eternal blissful life of knowledge. That is the aim. So Srila Prabhupada discusses about Varnashrama system. In the purport, he says first, what is not Varnashrama system? It is not based on the division by birth. And it is not for selfish purposes, sense gratification, not for this artificial dominance, you know, of one division over another. But that's how it has been practiced in the modern society. So Srila Prabhupada says, so it is required, therefore, that the social system should be organized in such a way that automatically people become interested in the ultimate goal of life. That is civilization. This is not civilization. Simply animal propensities. Eat voraciously and sleep 20 hours and have sex life without any restriction. Have atom bomb for defense. That's all. Finished civilization. Ahara nidya bayamaitunamcha samanyam etat. So he says only when we... Right now we are having animalistic society because there is no Varnashrama system. So what is the purpose of Varnashrama system? It is division by one's work and qualification. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Varnyam maya shrishtam guna karma vibhagashah. So it's based on one's work and qualification and it's in the best interest of human society. Otherwise it will not grow into a healthy state. And there should be one common aim. When will the cooperation happen? Cooperation will happen when there is one common goal. What is the common goal? Is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then when it happens, then smooth social intercourse and high thinking will happen. So each of them will perform their own prescribed duties, but at the same time they will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Srila Prabhupada says, because it is said, Varnashrama Vibhagashah. So all these, you know, different divisions, they will perform their prescribed duties, but performing that, they will please the Supreme Lord. We'll see how. So the example is, so Prabhupada says, a Brahmana Varna, he can satisfy Krishna by his tapasya, by his truthfulness, by his knowledge of the Shastras. He can preach the knowledge of the Shastra to the world. He can eat on behalf of God. So by doing this, he is pleasing the Supreme Lord. And he says, just like Arjuna was a Kshatriya, he was not a Brahmana. He was Kshatriya, he was not a sannyasi, he was a grihastha, king. His business, he knew how to kill. So by killing, he satisfied Krishna. So this is very important. Sam siddhe haritoshanam. So this is the real dharma. If you some way or other can satisfy Krishna, just like Arjuna, by killing, he said, killing art is not very good art. But because by killing, he satisfied Krishna. Krishna gave him certificate, bhaktiusi priyosi me, oh, you are my very dear friend. So in this institution of Varnashrama, you know, everybody is dependent on others. Like, you know, the Brahmanas, they are dependent on the scriptures and the Supreme Lord. And the Kshatriyas, they take guidance from the Brahmanas. And the Vaishyas, they seek protection from Kshatriyas. And Shudras, they take shelter of all the other three divisions. So when, you know, this kind of cooperation is there, then there is no such world wars and, you know, stuff like that. And the common aim is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And, you know, people, you know, certain people, they perform occupational duties with different motivations. So it can be for, you know, satisfaction of one's own mind, senses, ego. It can be to satisfy the family. It can be to satisfy nation, society. And then yogis, you know, as said in Bhagavad Gita 5th chapter, they do, such meditation for their own purification. But what is the highest perfection? Highest perfection is satisfaction of the Supreme Lord by which one is awarded devotion. Srila Prabhupada says, anything you do, if you can satisfy Krishna by your art and intelligence and education, by your work, then your life is perfect. So this is our proposition. Svanatistashya dharmasya samsiddhir hari toshanam. It does not matter. Varnashrama dharma, 8 categories, 4 social and 4 spiritual, or 4 material and 4 spiritual. But when the material activities are enacted for spiritual advancement, that it is no more material, it is spiritual. So what is the practical application that we can find in the verse? Samsiddhi Hari Toshanam. So the practical examples can be, we can work for Krishna, we can, you know, help in the construction of temple, or we can use our intelligence, abilities, talents for preaching the Krishna consciousness, or we can give donations to people who preach Krishna consciousness. And bhakti means transforming material to spiritual. Actually, the Lord, you know, it does not matter how much we do. Lord Ram in Ramayana, he was equally reciprocative to both Hanuman and the squirrel. So all that matters is our consciousness. So if we have that consciousness, I have to do this for Krishna, then it becomes, even the material activities become spiritualized. Now, we know the highest perfection is to please the Lord. Now, how can we act in order to attain that perfection is what we will see in the next verse. So, we will recite this verse together.
Tasmadekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati shrotavya kirtitavyasya deya pujasya nityada.
So, therefore, with one pointed attention, ekena manasa, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Such a instructive verse. So, four things are required. What is that? Shrotavya, hearing. Kirtitavya, glorifying. Deya, remembering. And Pujya, worshipping. You know? And what, you know, how can we do this? Regularly. When? Regularly. 24 hours a day. And whom should we, you know, hear, glorify, remember and worship? Bhagavan Sattvatam Pati. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, who is the protector of devotees. And how? Ekena Manasa. With one-pointed attention. So, Solinus Rompad Maran says, love means singular focus. Right? So, he gives his analogy of the Chataka bird. So, Chataka bird will take water only from the raindrops. No, from nowhere else. It wouldn't take water from the pond or from a cup or something like that. It takes water only from the raindrops. So similarly, as devotees, we should be attached only to the lotus feet of Krishna and not take shelter of any other material objects. So love means singular focus. My goal is Krishna. So some wonderful statements from the purport. You know, Srila Prabhupada says in the very first line, if the realization of the absolute truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. So it is not, it's such a powerful statement. It's not like, oh, my spiritual life, I'll do these things to progress, and my material life, I'll do these things. But Srila Prabhupada says, it must be carried out by all means. There is not like, you know, separate spiritual life and material life. It's all one. Bhakti, devotional service and material desires, it go ill together. So it must be carried out by all means. And he says, especially in modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. So these activities, hearing, remembering, glorifying, worshipping, these are all innate within our heart. So everybody does this. But Prabhupada says, the tendency to glorify others or hear others must be turned to the real object of glorification, the Supreme Being. And that will bring happiness. So when we hear and glorify about the Supreme Lord, that will give us the ultimate happiness. So Srila Prabhupada says, Tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati shrotavya. How can you satisfy God? So first, we need to know who is God. So we have to hear shrotavya. Then kirtitavya. We have to spread this knowledge. We should also remember and we should worship. He says in the second point, deya pujyascha, an offering worship. Just like we have got this in the temple, chanting Hare Krishna, that is deya, and pujyascha, an offering worship to the Lord. And nityada, you know, regularly, this regulation is very important. Says, so preaching, hearing, always thinking of and worshipping, these four things are required, then everything will be alright. It is not official business that after 1 week you go and God give us our daily bread and go home. So nityada means 24 hours we should be, our business should be, you know, engaged in all these four activities. And how? With ekena manasa, one-pointed focus. So there is this, story in Mahabharat. You know, when all these Pandavas and Kauravas, they were taking their training under their guru Dronacharya. They were learning these martial arts. So one day Dronacharya called all of them and he said, okay, there is this fish hanging on the tree. And I want you to shoot the arrow in such a way that it pierces through the eye of the fish. So he called. So first Yudhishthira Maharaj came, and then Dronacharya asked, what do you see? He said, I can see the fish, I can see the tree, I can see the leaves, I can see the sky, everything. And then slowly everybody says this, and finally Arjuna comes. And Dronacharya asks, what do you see? Arjuna says, I can see only the eye of the fish. That is called focus. So concentrating fully, ekena, with one attention, no diversion. Ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam patihi. Don't be afraid that if I simply concentrate my mind in Krishna, then how other things will go on. No. Bhagavan Sattvatam Pati. He is very careful about his devotees, Srila Prabhupada says. So, what does he say, you know, in connection to this in Bhagavad Gita? Which verse? Ananyashintayantomam yejanap. So, he says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So, there is this wonderful story of Arjunacharya in this connection. So, Arjunacharya, he was this Acharya from South India. So, one day he was writing commentary on this verse. So, when he read this Vahamyaham, he didn't believe. How can Krishna personally come and, you know, take care of us? So, he striked that word. He scratched that word and he wrote Karotiham. He does it by his energies. So, he did that and then he went to beg alms. So, when he had gone, two boys, you know, they came and they knocked at his house, his door, and then his wife opened the door. And then they said that we are the disciples of your husband and we have caught this. He forced us to get this foodstuff for you and we want to go back soon, otherwise he will beat us again. And then the wife does not believe. Oh, my husband does not beat. But then they show their back and she can see the scratched marks. And then they go away and then Arjuna Acharya comes. And then Arjuna Acharya asks, then he is surprised to see his wife eating, because normally in Vedic tradition the wife eats after the husband. So when he sees, then he asks her, you know, what happened? How did you get all this food? Then she says, your disciples, you know, two boys, they came and gave this foodstuff. They also told that you bet them. And then they show their scratched marks in their back. Then immediately, you know, Arjuna Acharya asks his wife, so how can you describe about those boys? And she says, one was black, one was white. So he immediately understands, oh, Krishna has personally come to, you know, carry, you know, to tell me that I personally come and take care of you. Then he becomes very happy. So that is the thing. So Krishna, he says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. So we don't have to worry. If I do all these things, then what will happen to the other things? No, Krishna is going to take care of our other things. So what is the practical application? Again, hearing. Hearing is the basic foundation of a spiritual life. Actually, if you see, right, all the other 8 processes of devotional service begin from hearing, right? Even Dhruva Maharaj, he first heard from his mother and then from Narada Muni. Prahlad Maharaj, he heard from Narada Muni in his womb. And Parikshit Maharaj, he perfected his life by hearing from Sukadev Goswami. So, hearing is the basic foundation of our spiritual life. Singular focus. My goal is only Krishna. And then, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam are the 4 essential processes that we should follow in our life to advance in Krishna consciousness. Now, you know, how can I remove the karmic reactions that bind me to the world and cause me to value things other than Krishna? You know, how can I remove my karmic reactions? So Krishna, so it's said in Bhagavatam, let's recite this verse together. Yad anudyasina yuktaha karma granti nibandhanam chindandi kovidastasya tona kuryat katartim. Such a powerful verse. It says, with sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? So, one of the benefits of Krishna consciousness, right? We get free from the bondage of karma. So, yet anudyasina yuktaha, being engaged in this process of Krishna consciousness, karma grandhi nibandham, so direct, this pool of result of our activities, one after the another, chindanti, cut off, kovidaha, intelligent man, tasya kona kuryat katharatim, one intelligent man should not engage himself in hearing about the topics of Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, they are all attractive spiritual activities. Spiritual activities here mean the hearing, remembering, glorifying and worshipping. And therefore, constant association with the spiritual activities of the Supreme Lord gradually spiritualizes the conditioned soul and ultimately severs the knot of material bondage. So, our mind is filled with all these, you know, material contamination from millions of births. But when we, so the example is, the analogy here is, when iron rod is kept in the fire, you know, for a long time, then it becomes like fire. So similarly, when we are in the constant association of these spiritual activities, then we also become pure like the Supreme Lord. You know, everything becomes spiritualized and ultimately severs the knot of material bondage. So, karma is what that binds us to this material world and in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that it's compared to tangle of knots. They are obstacles on the path of devotion. So whether it is, you know, good karma or bad karma, good reaction or bad reaction, is still going to distract us from the path of devotion, right? So that's why they are called obstacles. So when, if it's good karma, if it's bad karma, right, what happens? Sometimes people become hopeless. They lose faith in God. Or when it is like, you know, materially fine situation, they become complacent. So either way, it's going to, you know, distract us from the path of devotion. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada says that how we respond to these situations is going to determine how Krishna conscious we are. Or he also says, one's greatness is measured by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. So, tatenu kampam, even in distressful situations, we have to take shelter of the Lord, or even whether it is, no, everything is fine, we need to be grateful to the Lord and thank him and constantly think of him. So, what is the solution is, remembrance of the Lord in any situation of life. What is the verse? By constantly remembering, we can, with the sword in hand, we can cut the knots of karma. So this is very important, remembrance of the Lord in any situation of life, whether it is good or bad. Now, how to uproot sinful proclivities, right? Like, you know, sinful reactions might be destroyed, but the sinful propensity is there. So Sukadeva Goswami answers, you know, tells us to Parikshit Maharaj in the 6th canto, he says, only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. So, he also gives that example in the previous verse, you know, Sukadeva Goswami says, when all these dried leaves of a creeper beneath the bamboo tree, you know, can be burnt into ashes by fire, but still they will uproot again. There is a possibility they might come again because their root is still in the ground. So similarly, for us, also the sinful reactions might be nullified, but the propensity is still there. But when we practice unalloyed devotional service, then it also removes the sinful propensities. So that is the unique feature of devotional service. So if you practice other things, right? Like for example, Ajamil, he was a Brahmana, he was, you know, doing all his duties properly, he did charity, austerity, stuff like that. And what happened? It can actually nullify the sinful reactions, can eradicate the sinful reactions, but it cannot. So what happened? So immediately when he saw that woman, he became attracted. So only devotional service can remove this sinful propensity. So in the, you know, in the medical field, in the doctors, they give us vaccination, right, to prevent the contamination of the disease. So similarly, Krishna consciousness is the antiseptic. Remember, we studied this in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says antiseptic. Krishna consciousness is the vaccination for our diseased mind. So also another verse, you know, from Padma Purana, which says, for those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all sinful reactions, whether fructified in the stalk or in the form of a seed, gradually vanish. Therefore, the purifying potency of devotional service is very strong. So therefore, devotional service, it eradicates sinful reactions, it nullifies what is there in the store, you know, in the form of a seed, counteracts material sinful proclivities and uproots ignorance. So, you know, there is this analogy as the blazing fire, you know, when there is this blazing fire in the forest, and automatically the snakes in the ground are killed. So, when we have this Krishna consciousness, in the blazing fire of Krishna consciousness, it uproots all this ignorance that we have. But, you know, we know all these things, we have to remember, we have to do, like, you know, hearing, chanting, glorifying and all that. Srila Jiva Goswami says, who will not hear about Krishna, who saves mankind from the greatest misery, but I don't have the, or we don't have the taste. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, right, Durdaivam, in the second verse of Sikshashtakam, you know, Krishna has invested, he's so kindly given us this, his holy names, he's, you know, appearing to us through his holy names, but we are so unfortunate that we don't have any taste for it. So how can we, this remembrance, constant remembrance can be done by chanting with focus. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he lists four causes of misfortune. First one is Tattva Brahma, means philosophical understanding based on illusion. You know, based on illusion of the Supreme Lord, based on illusion of who am I, and based on illusion of you know, about bhakti and stuff like that. And aparadha, aparadha is offenses. So offenses against the Lord's name, form, his devotees and other living entities. Next is asat trishna. Asat trishna is thirst for the temporary. So desire for like fruitive results and heavenly comforts, mystic powers and all those things. Hridaya daurbalyam, which is weakness of heart due to fault finding and all these anarthas, pride and stuff like that. So because of all these things, we are not getting the taste. Now, so as easy and important as the process may be, I simply have no taste for either chanting or hearing Krishna Katha. So how to get the taste for hearing is what we will discuss in the next verse. So very important verse we will recite together.
Shushusho shraddha danasya vasudeva katha ruchi syan maha sevaya vipra punya tirtha nishevanat.
O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So what is stressed here? Seva, mahat sevaya. So the confidential servants of the, so Prabhupada says in the purport, the confidential servants of the Lord appear to save the human society, you know, to help, you know, they are so compassionate. They come to save us from this conditioned, conditioned state. And then they urge people to become devotees of Krishna. And they are to be respected as God, but they never tolerate being called God. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, though he was, you know, Supreme God himself, when people used to call him as God, he used to shut his ears. So the confidential servants, they are confidential servants. They are not ordinary, you know, living entities. They have been sent by the Lord himself to carry out his mission. So, the theme is serving devotees with life and soul. Mahat Seva. Rendering service to a pure devotee. Who is a Mahatma? Vasudeva Sarvamiti. One who has understood Krishna, you know. And then nobody in the history has attained love of Godhead without serving and pleasing devotees. So, that is very important. Serving and pleasing devotees is a very important aspect of our spiritual life. So, in Adi Purana, it said, you know, Lord Krishna says, those who worship my devotee is more dear to me. There are many examples. I would just want to share a few examples. So Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya, once he was like in South India, he told his disciple, you know, very dear disciple, he told him that go to this house of my wealthy disciple and tell him that I am going to come to his house tonight and stay with him. So this disciple goes to that wealthy disciple's house. And then he says, you know what, Ramanujacharya, our guru, is going to come today to your house and he is going to stay with you for the night. So he becomes immediately happy, the wealthy disciple, he becomes very happy. And then he immediately starts making all arrangements for his Guru Maharaj's visit. So then this disciple comes back and then he tells Ramanujacharya what happened. Then Ramanujacharya asks, so what happened? Did he serve you? How did he serve you? Did he offer you water, food, etc.? Then he says, no, he was so busy making arrangements for your visit that he did not serve me anything. Then Ramanujacharya says, okay, go to this poor disciple of, you know, house and tell him that I'm coming, going to come to his house and stay for the night. Then he goes. And the poor disciples, when he hears this, he becomes very happy and then he says, oh, because you are my Guru Maharaj, you are my dear God brother, I would want to serve you. So he gives, you know, prasadam and all that. Then this disciple goes back to Ramanujacharya and Ramanujacharya asks what happened. Then he says, oh, he was very happy and he also served me. Then Ramanujacharya goes to this poor disciple's house and spends his night there. So this wealthy disciple is waiting, you know, full night. Then the next day morning, he comes to know that Ramanujacharya has stayed in the poor disciple's house. So he comes there and he tells Ramanujacharya, what happened? You told you're coming, but you never came. So Ramanujacharya said, because you did not serve my dear servant, my dear disciple, then how can you serve me? But because this poor disciple, he served my servant, so I am so pleased. So it's very important. So even our spiritual master, no, sometimes we hanker for serving him directly, but we can serve the spiritual master by serving his servant. So becoming the servant of the servant of the servant. And Pundarik, this was a very interesting story. So there was this, devotee or person called Pundarik, and he had very aged parents. And his parents were very great devotees of the Lord. And he was, you know, ill-treating them after he got married. Though, so one day, you know, he went with his parents to a pilgrimage, to holy place. And then somehow, you know, the potency of the holy place, you know, the Lord gave him the message that you need to serve my devotees. No use of just coming to the holy place. First you serve my devotees and automatically all these results you will get. Then he becomes very inspired. He takes that, you know, instruction as his life and soul, and he starts serving his parents, you know. And then when he becomes so busy serving his parents, so Krishna himself comes personally to visit his devotee. So when, you know, Krishna, sometimes we don't have time to go to the temple, we are so busy engaged in the service of, you know, Vaishnavas, and Lord Krishna personally comes to see us. You don't have time, okay, I will come and see you, because I'm so pleased because you're serving my devotees. So Lord Krishna, you know, he came there, and then Pundarik, he was so busy serving his parents. He was in the middle of serving his parents. So when he saw, he knew, oh, Lord Krishna has come. Similarly, he throws a brick, you know, gesturing to Krishna, saying, you stand on the brick, wait. He becomes so busy serving his parents, and Krishna waits there, you know. And then he waits there and he becomes Lord Panduranga, because he's so happy, he's waiting for his devotees so that he can serve his devotees, you know, other devotees nicely. So these are very, and again, the example of Uddhava. Uddhava, right, he aspired to become the blade of grass in Vrindavan so that someday the gopis, the Vraja gopis, can step on him. So the serving the Vaishnavas is very, very important in our spiritual life. By serving a Bhagavata, a person understands Bhagavatam. So by serving, you know, one gets the affinity to hear the message. There is another very interesting pastime of Narottam Das Thakur. No, Narottam Das Thakur, he approaches Lokanath Goswami for initiation. But Lokanath Goswami says that he does not want to give initiation to anybody. So, you know, he tries, but because Lokanath Goswami says, no, he doesn't want to initiate, then Narottam Das Thakur thinks, so let me at least serve him, you know. So Lokanath Goswami used to go to this, you know, particular place to attend his nature's call. So every day Narottam Das Thakur will go there in the night when nobody is seeing, and he will go and clean the you know, those things with personally with his hand. So one day when Lokanath Goswami, he happened to see this, and he became very pleased, because you have this sincere desire of serving me, I will initiate you, and he accepted him as his disciple. Some of the interesting, powerful statements from the purport. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord and so are very dear to the Lord. So we have this experience that when somebody does something to our, you know, child, we become more happy than they doing it directly to us. So similarly, Krishna, you know, in the same state, he says, if you worship my devotees, I become more pleased. More than me, I become more pleased. There are very nice examples of, like, Maharaj Prataparudra. Ramananda Rai, he recommends Prataparudra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, because he served you, Krishna will bestow his mercy on him. And Dukki was his, you know, maid servant in Shiva's Pandit's home. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees that she is so simple, you know, and she is very unassuming, and she is just serving the Vaishnavas. So he becomes very pleased with her, and he names her as Sukhi. And then Madai, right? So Madai, because, you know, when Jagai was going to attack Nityananda Prabhu, he says that, don't do it. Jagai, stop. Don't attack more. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he became very pleased. So, and he bestowed his mercy on him. Srila Prabhupada says in the, you know, the lecture for this verse, now, how is this taste created? That is also explained in the next line. Syan Mahat Sevaya, Mahat Sevaya. Mahat means, I've already explained, a devotee, pure devotee, who has no other business than to serve Krishna. He is called Mahat. So one has to engage himself in the service of the pure devotee. As soon as we serve a pure devotee, as it is spoken by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. Yasya Prasada. If you satisfy a pure devotee by your service, then even there is some discrepancies, you will get all these qualities. Syan Mahat Sevaya Rajan. So, how one develops taste? So, first we interact, you know, we have this faith, and we interact, or we associate with these great souls, and we also serve them. By serving, one develops actually more faith, right? strong faith. And then by purity of these Mahatmas, we get attracted to them. When we develop faith and attraction, we open our heart to hear. So when we are attracted to someone, like, you know, then we see, oh, what is making them so attractive to me? So we want to hear from them. We want to experience what they are also relishing. To hear about what they are relishing in Krishna consciousness. Thus, we also become attracted to Krishna. I just wanted to share like a very, personal experience in from my life. So when I was this very, you know, fragile devotee, I had, you know, fragile faith and I was like such a neophyte, beginner, basic, in Krishna consciousness. I went to Vrindavan and there, first Shyamala Mataji only showed me Radhanath Maharaj because I haven't seen him in person, I've heard about him. And then she showed him, this is Radhanath Maharaj. And when I saw him, I was immediately, you know, his purity and his, you know, his kindness and compassion, I was feeling attracted to him. And then I was so, you know, I asked my husband, oh, I saw him, now what, I want to talk to him, but what should I talk? What should I talk when I see these sannyasis or great souls? Then he said that you can ask, whenever you see, you know, devotees, pure devotees, you can ask them, how can I serve you? So I so naively go and ask Maharaj, oh, how can I serve you? And Maharaj said, how many rounds are you chanting? I said, on and off, 4 to 8. And then Maharaj said, chant 16 rounds. You know, that you can serve me by doing that. So because of his potency, you know, and his blessings, I started chanting more rounds or 16 rounds from that day. And then my faith in Krishna consciousness also increased so much. So by hearing from pure devotees, great souls, we automatically become attracted to Krishna. Even Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, why they have this purity? Because they carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their heart. So Yudhishthira Maharaj tells, to Vidura, my Lord, devotees like yourself are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So again, Prabhupada says another statement. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants. And thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. So Sachinand Maharaj, I read this somewhere. He says, by actually associating with a pure devotee, we actually get some of their qualities and by serving them. So by serving, one gets attached and by attachment, we offer, remember that personality. So suppose we want some quality, for example, we want to be regulated. So when we associate and serve, you know, devotees who are, you know, practicing that, then we also get that quality. So the example is a moth, when it enters into the cocoon and he meditates on the butterfly, then it automatically transforms into one, or he gets the qualities of the butterfly. So by serving the servants, we also get the quality of such servants and become qualified to hear the glories of God. And there are different stages of devotion. You know, Srila Rupa Goswami tells in Nectar of Devotion. He says, first is Shraddha, Adau Shraddha. Shraddha is the beginning stage, which is the faith. And then when we have this initial faith, we associate with sadhu sangha, association of devotees. And when we serve them, we associate with them, we serve them, we also want to hear from them. Then bhajana kriya, they initiate us, they accept us as their disciple. Then we start chanting the holy names of the Lord and we practice, you know, the regulative principles. Anartha nivritti. So when we chant, you know, sincerely, attentively, without offenses, then what happens? Anartha nivritti. Unwanted material desires are wiped out from our heart. Then we get nishta, which is steadiness. Not this flickering, faith, but steadiness in our spiritual act. And then comes ruchi, the taste. So to get ruchi, we need to go through these five stages. Ashakti is firm attachment after ruchi, and then next is prema or the devotional love. So everything starts from faith and association of devotees. So when we associate with devotees, we get the eagerness. So we get the qualification of eagerness is, you know, we get from associating with devotees and serving them. So the practical application is service to the Vaishnava should be our life and soul. We have to think ourselves to be the insignificant servant of a spiritual master and Param Guru Srila Prabhupada and all the Acharyas. Service mood will award a taste for hearing Krishna Katha. Now, after serving devotees, we begin to desire to hear about Krishna. What happens next? is what we will discuss in the next verse, the very, you know, famous and wonderful verse. We'll recite it together.
Shrinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtanah hridiyantostihi abhadrani vidunoti suhursatam.
Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of a devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So, this is the very nice statement in the purport from Srila Prabhupada. He says, messages of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, are non-different from Him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. So the Lord is, you know, available to us through, especially through His holy names, especially in this age, through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we do this attentive chanting, you know, attentively hearing to, you know, the Maha Mantra, when we do attentive chanting, then we are actually personally associating with Krishna. His Holiness Rompath Maharaj says that 2 hours of chanting means we are personally associating with Krishna. Because Krishna and His holy names are non-different. And when we chant attentively, what happens? We remove our mind and false ego from the center, and actually we put Krishna in the center. So the Lord reveals us, so a Lord manifests in our heart. The Lord is there in our heart, but He reveals to us when we do this attentive chanting. And you know, Burijan Prabhu gives a tip. One mantra at a time. So when we have to hear, you know, carefully, attentively hear one mantra at a time. So if we listen to one mantra and chant, then the difference is like day and night. You know, it has that purifying consciousness. We get the purifying consciousness. So we need to understand that these messages of, you know, the Bhagavatam are non-different from Krishna. So when we attentively hear, we are actually associating with Krishna. The next statement, powerful statement is, most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps him in all respects. So, we might have come to Krishna consciousness with different motives and intentions. Some people might come, you know, some devotees might come out of material distress, some devotees might come out of inquisitiveness. So, practice Krishna consciousness and our intent, our desires are satisfied, we become complacent, right? But, you know, Srila Prabhupada says, what we have to keep track of the end goal. What is the end goal? To go back home, back to Godhead and revive our lost relationship with Krishna. So, the beautiful example is Hanumanji. So, when Hanumanji was flying, you know, to Lanka, there were a lot of temptations and obstacles on his path, but he never lost sight of his vision. So, because his end goal was, he didn't want to accept anything for himself, because his mood was to just serve the Supreme Lord. So this mountain, when he was flying this mountain Mainak, he came and then he told, why don't you rest, you know, for some time. But Hanumanji was like, no, I don't want to take anything for my personal enjoyment, because my goal is to serve the Supreme Lord. So that should be our goal. You know, we should not become complacent. We should have this intense desire to go back home, back to Godhead. Another statement is, to become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. So the example is Srila Haridas Thakur, because he was completely taking shelter of, you know, the holy name. Even Maya could not come and distract him. Rather, he initiated Maya. So we should have this complete shelter, you know, complete shelter of hearing and glorifying the Lord. And another example would be Vishwamitra Muni. So Vishwamitra Muni, when he was practicing austerities, so first time Menaka was sent. So because he was trying to practice austerities on his own endeavor, he became distracted. Just by hearing the tinkling bell of, you know, Menaka's anklets, he became distracted. The next time he thought, okay, you know what I did was wrong. Now I should do it properly. So he again performs austerities and Ramba is sent. So, you know, when he sees Ramba, he immediately, you know, burns her into ashes by seeing her. So this time he took shelter of his anger. Then the next time he understands, oh, I cannot take shelter of my own endeavor. I have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So that is very important. We have to take the complete shelter of the Supreme Lord. Then we will not be distracted. You know, Maya cannot do anything to us. Now, anarthas that cause this unsteadiness. Right? Hridayantastha, the contaminations are accumulated in our heart. So, you know, our mind should be trained in such a way so that we can do all these activities of hearing, glorifying, worshipping, you know, and remembering nicely. So, what are the, you know, anarthas that cause our mind to get attached to anything other than Krishna? It's because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says, there are six anarthas. The first one is Utsaha Mahi. Enthusiasm including pride. So when we get some personal devotional achievements, we think we have mastered everything. Second one is Gana Tarala. Moving unsteadily between diligence and negligence. So someday, one day, like we decide, okay, from tomorrow I will, or from today I will chant, you know, 36 rounds or 64 rounds every day. But one day we do, next day we don't do. One day we read Srimad Bhagavatam for 4 hours and next day we don't do. So this moving unsteadily between diligence and negligence. Next is view the vikalpa, flickering determination all the time, right? Whether I have to do this, whether I have to do that, I have to be a grahastha or I have to be a brahmachari, you know, I have to go to yatra, not go to yatra. There's so many such flickering stuff going on in our mind. Vishaya sangara, ongoing struggle with sense pleasure, right? We like, okay, from tomorrow, okay, I'm you know, caught in all these things. From tomorrow, I'll attend Mangala Arati every day. So again this, but other things attract us. You know, I want to sleep more. So this ongoing struggle with sense pleasure. Niyamakshama, inability to improve devotional practices. The same thing, like I want to, you know, chant better, I want to read more, but we are not able to do it. Taranga Rangini, delighting in the material facilities that bhakti produces, right? Taranga is waves. So we are enamored by, you know, the material things or the things that bhakti produces, like followers or, you know, like that. So Srila Prabhupada says, so our Krishna consciousness movement is giving this chance to everyone, everyone without any discrimination. So how is it purified? One may say that simply by hearing how one becomes purified. No, Krishna helps, right? So anartha nivritti, when we hear and chant, you know, attentively, then Krishna from within our heart cleanses all the material desires, all the anarthas. Here it is said, hridayantastohi abhadrani vidunoti suhur satam. Krishna vidunoti. Krishna helps you. Those who are hearing with attention, Krishna is within you, everyone, Paramatma. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tistati. Krishna is with you. Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so sympathetic. As soon as he sees, oh, the soul, because every soul is Krishna's son. So he is very much anxious. Just like a father. If a son is in difficulty, the father is more anxious. How this boy will be rescued from this difficulty? Similarly, we are suffering in this material world. Krishna is more anxious to get us back to home, back to Godhead. Therefore, as soon as he sees, oh, he is hearing about me. Oh, thank you. I shall help you. Immediately he vidunoti. He washes all the dirty things. In fact, there's this line in this purport. Prabhupada says, the Lord is more anxious to take us back home, back to God than us. So, and then this is this very nice, from the purport of the fifth chapter of the first canto. Prabhupada says, hearing gives highest perfection. By hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Lord, one contacts directly the personality of Godhead. And as explained before, by hearing about the personality of Godhead from within, all accumulated sins, all accumulated sins of the mundane creature are cleared. Thus, being cleared of all sins, the hearer gradually becomes liberated from mundane association and becomes attracted to the features of the Lord. So when the mind, you know, is trained or by doing attentive chanting, hearing, remembering and glorifying, then the mind becomes released from the modes of material nature. And it becomes fixed. And then we become attracted to the features of the Lord. So Narada Muni has just explained this by his personal experience. So the example is Narada Muni. He says, the whole idea is that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastime, one can become one of the associates of the Lord. Narada Muni has eternal life, unlimited knowledge and unfathomed bliss. And he can travel all over the material and spiritual worlds without restriction. One can attain to the highest perfection of life simply by attentive hearing of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from the right sources. As Sri Narada heard them from the pure devotees, the Bhakti Vedantas in his previous life. So we have all these examples. So this process of hearing in the association of devotees is especially recommended in this age of Kali. So practical application, Shravana and Kirtana, you know, chanting and hearing. Krishna from within removes contaminations. So much depends on our eagerness to attentively hear and chant. So with this, all the verses are done. So I'll just quickly, you know, summarize all the verses. In 12th verse, we discuss that the absolute truth is realized only by performing devotional service based on those aspects. Jnana, detachment and, you know, oral reception and seriously inquisitive. 13th verse, the goal of all prescribed duty is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. In the 14th verse, how it can be accomplished by hearing, chanting, glorifying and remembering him with one-pointed attention. 15, by this process of remembering the Supreme Lord, all reactionary work which binds one to the body is completely cut. Intelligent men therefore constantly remember Krishna. We can constantly remember by chanting with focus. In 16th verse, I do not have this taste for hearing and consequently for chanting, remembering, etc. Serving the pure devotees give an affinity to hear. And then what happens after that? The Lord sees our sincerity and eagerness to hear and chant his glories, then he so mercifully removes our material contamination so that we may easily go back home, back to Godhead. Okay, the references are Unveiling His Lotus Feet by Gurujan Prabhu, then I listened to different audio lectures from his condensatory, and then Rompad Maharaj's lectures for these verses, and Srila Prabhupada's lecture transcriptions. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you.